Russia.
Let's go. More democracy.
Welcome to the League of Freemen.
Hello and welcome to episode 454 of the League House podcast. I'm your host, Nick the King Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Frost Rockhearts.
Heyo, what's good?
And Colton Blue Basket Sweat.
What's up, gamers?
Yo, yo, yo. This week, we've got a packed episode for you guys. We've got a couple new patrons. We've got a little bit of LeagueCast news, including the new plays video coming out soon. Samurai Rising news. We've got a little bit there. Not too much, but there's a new patch that is live, in fact, I think. We've got one starry. We're going to be talking about bi-weekly discussion. We've got kind of duoing and how to end the season properly, or how you should be trying to end it. Going to be talking about the LCS and Worlds, new and old roundtable, and then round it out with a number of emails. So we got to get right into this, boys. Aiden, how was your week?
My week was good. Not a ton of games outside of duo queue with you. I think we're gonna save that for your section, though. It's a little bit more you focused than me focused, but we've been grinding, let's put it that way. So that's been fun. Outside of League, I'm excited because the Big Sea Thieves update came out today and it's gonna be fun. Gonna spam a lot of that this weekend. Nothing else really important though happening this weekend, I think it's just the Sea of Thieves patch and what about you, Colton?
So I have also been grinding quite a bit, not with Nick, but in solo queue. During our little Vive Weekly, I'll be talking about what I've been playing and my newly unlocked bot lane that I think is actually super, super good. Aside from that, I've been trying to get back into Valorant.
Boo! I heard
very successfully.
I heard they had a fucking disaster of a patch recently.
It just fucks it up for tournament play. Yeah,
the biggest thing for me is just like right off the bat, like the movement feels slow, and like just walking around the map and trying to interact with things, all of it just feels kind of off. And it's probably because I'm used to, like, floating around like you do in CSGO, right? Where there's, But it's also, like, in CSGO, you're a little bit faster. And, like, it feels more crisp because of that. Whereas in Valorant, I feel like all the time, like, I try and walk by something and it stops me. Or I try and jump up onto a ledge and I miss it. Like,
does have to be a different game based on like having abilities and stuff, though. Like, that's reason.
Sure.
You have to make it feel slower so abilities aren't just like super OP sort of thing. You also can't like have you like jumping on places because then abilities are less. It's like a bunch of like weird mixing of that, I think.
But yeah, so I've been trying to get back into it. I've played a couple games, but I don't think like it's not really sucking me back in, and nor did it ever, so probably not gonna stick on that. A little bit of TFT, haven't been grinding too hard on that. I'm still like right around D4, D3 area. We'll see if I find a patch I like enough to try and grind back to master.
Hey, you got that screenshot from last season though, right?
Yeah, I stuck on my border, baby.
Oh, nice. Nice.
When I queue up for like normal games, like it shows a master border in my load. From TFT.
That's pretty sick.
That's so funny.
Aiden, do you think I'd get banned from that tournament?
Yeah.
Like, we're masters in TFT.
It is crazy though how many people on like I've seen less of it now, but like people on Reddit that were upset that people had master borders for TFT or master icons or like all that shit. It's just like who cares? It's cosmetic stuff.
Yeah, it's a couple of JPEGs, right? But hey. Yeah, pretty much my whole week. I am getting, I guess, prepared for Halloween, even though I'm doing nothing and not much is really happening. But it's actually kind of cold here in Texas. It's been like 40 degrees the last few days.
Are you a dirty Halloweeny?
Oh, I'm a huge Halloweeny, dude. I love Spooktober, but there's not exactly much socializing happening right now. And most of my friends that I would celebrate with are up in good old Illinois. But yeah, that's been my week. So Nick, how have you been? How's your How's your climb going?
Okay, so it's not as bad as it was. Aiden and I have had some fucking adventures this week. We started out playing... I mean, you've been playing Shen basically the whole time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think I started playing Kassadin, Conqueror Tank Kassadin, which worked for us pretty well. I think... we'll talk about it in a bit, but I think you get to a certain point in the game where as long as the game is not lost, it's done. Like, I think 50-50 games are over at that point. But that puts one of us outside of the bot lane. So of course it's a loss, if that happens. So, we've been doing other stuff. You're still playing Shen, but I moved to AD carry and just trying to like not int in the bot lane. And it's been working pretty well so far. Currently plat 366 LP. So there's still hope. I think I have to win 21 games. I think I have to
the
go
goal
plus
is plat
21.
2 by end of tomorrow.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, yeah. Minimum. Hopefully beyond that. So
yeah.
We'll see. But it's looking like there is enough time to make one last push, but it's gonna have to be a fucking hell of a push, and I need a lot of luck to make it happen. So I'm kind of with...
Send Nick your energy.
Yeah, send me your energy, Goku style. Put your fucking hands in the air right now.
Nick, do you think if I start descending, you'll go back up? Because as I was ceasing up, you
Are
shot
you
down.
Siphoning my fucking LP, Colton?
I've been siphoning your energy, dude.
You're siphoning my MMR? That's fucked up.
That's crazy.
No, well, damn. I mean, right now we're both climbing, so I don't know if that works.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's okay.
And Trevor is, too. Trevor made it back to Diamond.
Trevor
so.
Is, and yeah. He wants to play more, Shout which out. Is fucking wild to me. Hey, Colton, if you were to give a number to the amount of times he has demoted, not decayed, demoted this season, what number would that
out
be?
Out of Diamond into Plat?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's higher than one.
I think it's happened four times?
It's happened
it's
three
four
times. Oh, is it four?
It's four.
It's four. I thought it was only three. Ooh. And the man wants to play again.
Yeah, okay. Like, so at that point, if I'm him, I'm just, like, not going to risk dropping again.
Yeah, you know? I think Aiden told him, play until you get to zero LP again.
Yeah.
And then just stop.
And then just stop, yeah, right? And that's where I'm at, where, like, I've been climbing, but, like, if I got to D4-0, not a chance I'd play another game.
Yo, same. Same.
It is so much harder. Aiden and I were having this conversation that, like, it is so much harder to win games in Platinum 3 than it is in Diamond 3. It is so much harder. It's insane. Like, I was stuck in, like, Plat 3 for 2-3 months. Got to Diamond, was Diamond 3 within, like, 2 days, was Diamond 3, like, 95 LP within, like, another day, and, like, I've been bouncing around since then, but it's insane how much harder it is to carry fucking Plat games.
Yeah, and, like, I stopped playing with you, Colton, because I feel like we were losing, not through anyone's fault, like, not through yours or mine, but it was just like, oh, queued up into another bad game, oh, bot lane's 0-12. So.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, we were both, I think, cursed with quite a long string of just poor matchmaking. But so. Hey, you know, law of averages, it seems to have finally evened out.
Fucking
or maybe
I
we just
so.
Became god players. I don't know.
I don't know. I have been getting carried a couple games. Aiden's playing out of his goddamn mind on Shen, so I just have to rely on you.
I haven't had
going,
too many Shabbat Shen games.
Not too many. I just got to rely on you hard carrying every single game.
Oh, it's so sad though, Colton. So we played one game where they first picked Darius, and I'm like, Nick, I'm gonna do it to him, and I picked Quinn. And let's just say I ended the game 0-8, okay?
but like one of those, like how many of those were your fault?
So like I like ward deep for like their release gank, right? I ward like Scuttle, right? Scuttle spawns, she doesn't do Scuttle. She goes all the way through our jungle, through top tribush and ganks me, right? And I'm like, oh, that's fine. I, like, flash over her, hit my vault off her, barely get hit by the cocoon and die, right? And then I come back to lane, and she's just camping the tribush and she kills me, right? Okay, and then I come back to lane, and she's in the bush, you know, like, above Krugs, her and Darius, and they kill me. And then I come back to lane, Colton, and she's there by herself and she solos me. And then I come back to lane, and she's in that bush again and she solos me.
Dude, oh god, that's just...
I died five times in a row to that.
I've had a lot of fucking bloodbath games like that. There have been a couple of games, especially on Kindred. I don't know when they made this change where you can reapply the mark to the same person.
It's pretty recent, if I'm not mistaken, right?
I had an Ornn top against a Mordekaiser. And, like, I early gank him. Like, I was 3, he was 2. Kill him, get a mark, get the scuttle, come back, kill him again. And I, like... We did the same thing where I think we dove this guy like 6 times before our Ornn ever even like recalled out of lane. And I was just like, all right, cool. We dive in, push a wave, go get Krugs, dive in, push a wave. Like back to back to back to back. It was insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just tilting because I think in that same time that I died 5 times to the jungle gank, which is my fault to some degree. I do think after gank maybe like 3, it's like starts to be like, I don't know what I can do sort of thing. But in that same time, I think our jungler died twice ganking mid and bottom or something.
But was also down CS surprisingly.
Yeah, yeah, that's the feels bad when that happens, but your jungler's also down CS and went 1-for-2 on a gank.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So it's been fun. We'll talk about what we've been playing with Shen, because I think we spoiled that in a bit. So I guess let's get into the show. So first up, shout out to Dan. It's in my veins. That's a fucking good name. It's spelled like the vein, the character. And CB Parker for your support. We appreciate that a ton. We have a monthly top plays video going live in 4 days. On Sunday the 1st. So be sure to check that out if you're interested. I'm sure there's some pretty fucking banging songs. A banging song, ? And some plays, so check it out. We've recorded the Patreon episode. It goes live on YouTube for everyone. If you are not a patron, on the 14th of November, so a little bit more than 2 weeks away. But again, if you want access to it early, you can get it for $1 a month. Which is basically nothing. So check that out. Awesome. Let's move into the Samurizing news. We have 2 cinematic trailers that came out today, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, one of them came out like last night, I think. But yeah.
Last night. Cool. So we've got KDA More, the music video. What do you guys think?
I thought it was a fucking banger.
Yeah, I thought it was
I thought it was good. I had seen before I watched the video, I'd seen some like backlash on Reddit about it. And so I went into it with like not expecting much. I thought it was good. And then I went back and I watched Popstars again. And like the art in More is so much better. It's a very different style. Like the art in More is super realistic. And like they're trying to make them look like actual people, and when you go back from watching More to Popstars, you're like, oh, one of these is a cartoon.
Yeah,
you know.
No, my only gripes about I think the music is actually sick. I personally like that song more than I think Popstars. Like less than what was the second one they did? Baddest. I think.
Yeah.
The animation of that were like a little bit stiff at times for like some of the dancing, but overall I thought it was like super, super sick. I think just like the sound of it's great. I do think there is like a weird disconnect of I don't mind it because I'm not listening to a League of Legends band for the lyrics. You know what I mean? A League of Legends what do you want to call it? Like K-pop band for like lyrics. But it is weird that there's times where it's English, times that it's Korean, times that it's Mandarin. And I can't always tell when it's switching between them. Because sometimes it's all just like kind of jumbled. Yeah.
It's rapid changes between them. Sometimes within a single line, it'll switch.
Yeah.
And also a lot of times when it's in English, it's not fully understandable on its own.
Well, yeah, it's also like a lot of times it's English, it's a Korean speaker, right? Mm-hmm. So like it's a switch from a Korean speaker speaking Korean to a Korean speaker speaking English. And then next line, it might be like an English speaker speaking English. And the next line, it might be a someone speaking Mandarin. And it's like, that's like a lot of changes. And I can't usually tell when it's English or not, which is crazy.
To me, I'm almost at the point of that where like, again, I think in Popstars, it was mostly very understandable in this one. Like, I'm glad I had captions on so I could understand the lyrics. But I would almost add, like, at that point for this one, like, just like, if you want, I guess they don't, they're probably not trying to, but like, I would be totally fine if it was just completely in Korean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, like, because I think the best example for me personally is just like anime outros, where like, there are so many anime outros in Japanese that I'm just like, absolute fucking banger. I love this song, or like, this song is so pretty. No idea what they're saying. Mm-hmm. Like, that's fine. Just let it sound good.
Dude, I fucking headbanged to so many fucking Naruto openings. Right? They go hard, man.
Yeah, I agree. But I sort of like that seamless transition, I suppose, despite how like jarring it can be. But I definitely understand how that could be like off-putting.
Mm-hmm. And I think that definitely goes away with repeat listens. Like, I'm sure if I listen to it two more times, those qualms would be much smaller as I learned to understand like the sound of that Korean speaker speaking English, right? It's just not a sound I'm familiar with as a, you know, a Midwestern white male living in Texas. Mm-hmm. The sound of a Korean singer singing in English is not a sound I'm used to hearing.
Yeah, it's still my favorite though, I think. I'm excited to see what they have two more, I want to say, or is it three more?
Videos
coming out.
They were doing a whole album, right?
Well, it's like five or something like that. Totally.
Oh, okay. It's like a Kanye.
Because I know there's one that's called it has a goofy ass name. Let me figure out what it is. It's
Stop
like
into my solo
something
games.
Boom. Like what is it? Jesus. Something go boom.
Oh Lord.
What is it? Boom boom something, I don't know what is it, fuck. Oh, it's so funny, man. Oh, I can't find it. They had like the picture that had like all their songs that were coming out like on it. Oh, I found it. So The Baddest, More, Villain, Drum Go Dumb, that's what.
Okay, Drum Go Dumb is kind of good though.
That's and so good you. Aiden, shut up.
Dude, I'm hoping Drum Go Dumb is the fucking hit.
That'd be so
oh my funny. God, that's such a good name.
That's a pretty good name.
Dude, I can't wait for Tank Toplaners to start using that. Like, Orin pops the old Drum Go Dumb.
Kitty Orin, question mark?
Yeah.
Sweet. The Wild Rift cinematic trailer, where Jinx kidnaps everyone, is that right?
Yeah, it was sick. I love League of Legends cinematics. I feel like they always do such an awesome job with them.
Was it good? Okay, that's the only one I haven't watched, but I heard it was good.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's like very, it's definitely a different art style than typical League of Legends, but I also think they're trying to differentiate how Wild Rift looks from League. Mm-hmm, so I think that's fair. I think the only like character that I think looks very oddly depicted from other art is Lux. She looks like almost Disney princess-esque, if you will. But I think it's like awesome. They do such a great job with every single cinematic they do. Especially like this one's really reminiscent of, what was the one from a couple years ago? You know, the it was like a big team fight in like the Rift.
Oh,
and fucking
Radiant Dawn.
Like, yeah, Radiant Dawn.
The one where
that
fucking Graves dies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very reminiscent of that. It's like a huge like team fight type thing.
Yeah. Okay. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, and I'm watching it now for the first time. They definitely made Lux look like a Disney princess, yeah, man.
I kind of like it though, to be honest.
Yeah,
I think that's fine. It's just like not the Lux I'm used to. Yeah. Like if that had been how Lux was introduced, no problem. Yeah. It's just different, you know. Mm-hmm.
Nice, sweet. And then the only other piece of news is patch 10.22 is out. So we'll run through the patch notes real quick. Don't need to spend too much time on this. There's really nothing that
they're all minor changes until the new
minor.
Season. So.
Seraphine is coming out okay, it doesn't say when, so soon, TM.
Hell yeah.
Poggers. I feel like they usually have a date, but that's okay.
Apparently it's 29th in chat according to I'm3D Ski. You guys can hold him accountable if she doesn't come out tomorrow.
Yeah. But cool. add him on Discord if he's not out by the time he listen to this. I am 3D SKI, so cool.
Yeah, Amumu's alt now stuns enemies. That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's just not too big of a change, though. It was a root and disarm, so it was a stun anyways, right?
I think it was functionally a stun.
Yeah, functionally. But... So it's just...
I think, couldn't you cast some abilities?
So it was a root, so you can't use abilities while you're rooted, and then you can't use auto attacks while you're disarmed, so...
I thought you could. Bro, I don't know.
Maybe you can use summoner spells.
I think it's that, yeah, you can use summoners. And then I think that it was at one point only a root. And then they added disarm. And now they're like, okay, let's just put it how it should be.
That makes sense, okay. The root. Oh, remember it used to be snare versus root?
Yeah.
Root. You're not able to control movement or activate dashing or blinking spells for the duration. But you can cast abilities.
Oh, so you could cast abilities with the Moomoo. Wow, yeah. That's actually kind of a buff then.
Yeah, it is a buff, for sure.
That's a pretty big buff. Yeah.
It is, yeah. Poggers.
Cool.
Buff for a Moomoo.
Okay, next we have Annie.
This is probably like the biggest change of the patch.
Yeah, it's the biggest change of the patch for sure.
Her E now provides a shield instead of giving damage reduction. The shield can now be cast on an allied champion. The cost and range have been increased, and the shield also now always will apply to Tibbers when he's summoned. So it looks like instead of having that damage reduction, it is flat. It used to be a flat damage reduction. Now it's a shield scaling from 40 up to 240 with an AP ratio. As long as the shield holds, you get the movement speed. And the shield lasts for 3 seconds. Looks like it doesn't decay. Okay.
So I feel like this guarantees, she's going to be played support, right?
I still think she's like fine mid. I definitely think that this opens her up to being a support more than she was.
So. Yeah, I think we're going to see a huge increase in Annie's support, and that this is going to be like pretty small change to Annie mid. Like, I don't think it changes her a whole lot because her things just, you know, combo 100-0, be in the right place. But this is definitely going to increase her potency as a support.
Mm-hmm. So does it double cast or does it cast on? No, okay, it's just her. So I thought
and her bear,
and the bear, yeah. Tibbers always gets it, right?
I think it's only when you summon Tibbers. Oh no, he always gets. He always. Okay, so when you summon Tibbers, yeah, as well as any time when you cast it, I think.
Yeah. So yeah. I wasn't sure. I think on the PB they experimented allowing Annie to cast it on herself and others, like at the same. It would cast on her and another champion, but I'm not 100% sure about that. So,
do you guys think this is a buff or a nerf to the ability though? Before it was 30% damage reduction, and now it's a shield.
I think it has to be. Oh, that's tough.
I don't know. It's hard.
It's right. It's iffy, right? Because against massive burst, it's a nerf. Against small poke, it's a buff. Right, because like if an Orianna QWs you, and you have a 200 health shield, it's gonna deal 40 damage after the shield. Whereas if you reduce that by 30%, it's still doing like 150 damage to you. But if a Talon combos you for 1,000, that reduction's gonna do way more than a shield. I would say in most instances it's probably a buff, because again, most champions aren't doing that much damage, because like let's just go like base values. So 30%, in order to get the same value as a 240 shield,
it'd have to be 720. You'd have to take 720 damage.
Yeah, over 3 seconds,
and that's before the AP ratio as well.
Mm-hmm. It's possible, but it's not common. I think in most cases that when you Annie shield, you're taking 700 damage in that interval.
Yeah.
Plus, it's got, the mana cost went up, so that's definitely a nerf on that front. But I'd say overall, this is definitely a buff to Annie.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it changes how she plays, though.
No, not really. I just, again, yeah, like, I think we'll see a lot more Annie support with, like, Shirelia Rush.
Mm-hmm. That'd be pretty good. Sweet. Ash is up next. W arrows now increase per rank up, so you get plus one number of arrows that you shoot out when you rank up to 11. Pretty cool. I don't think it changes a bunch, but that's interesting.
They should make the targeting like Heimerdinger's rockets, where you can like adjust the size of it.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Right, like you can make all of the shots go in like a tiny cone, or you can like fire them wide, so it's like one hits everything.
That'd be pretty interesting. I like that.
I think that's better than just like, it's already a stupid ass ability where it's like the number of arrows doesn't matter because mm-hmm. it just all hits.
Yeah.
Or at least that's how it feels. Not yes, playing it a does feel that way. But anyway, moving on to Brand. Go ahead.
I just want to say one more thing. I was just looking at Annie's stuff, right? We all read the Annie stuff. We all talked about the Annie stuff. But I went to like go check her patch history because I thought like, I was like, oh, is Annie the character that like maybe early like season one or season two or whatever, her molten shield like did damage when you auto attacked her or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it did.
And then I thought I found it, right? But this is listed in the change today. So like in the patch notes, it says like the stuff it said, right? Mm-hmm. But in like the wiki patch notes, it says all the stuff it just said, like you can grant it on herself or an ally, and Tibbers gets it, yada yada yada. It's a shield, 3 seconds, gains movement speed. While this shield's active, enemies who basic attack take 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 plus 20% magic damage.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
that. Why is that not listed anywhere?
Maybe
because it's not changing at all.
Yeah, maybe it's always
was that
there?
Always on it before.
Yeah, it's always had a reflective element.
I thought they took it off.
Okay. I thought they did too. I'll be honest.
Well, it's good to know because I think that's actually like really, really. I think that makes a big difference, right? In the fact that I think that is more beneficial on a shield ability than like a damage reduction ability.
Yeah,
makes it super sick for like small things. I think. Yeah, it's actually crazy. That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. It's crazy. It's not listed there. Like just like a reminder because I feel like
yeah,
it's awesome. Cool. Anyways, didn't mean to cut you guys off.
All good.
Yeah, so next up we have Brand. So it looks like they're making a couple little changes to him. His passive explosion damage, which is when it's applied 3 stacks, has been decreased. The blaze on his E will now always spread to nearby enemies. The radius has been increased, and the indicator now shows that increase. The ultimate fireball can also bounce off Brand now. So if you're standing right next to somebody, you can just press R and do a nice little
crazy
two-person bounce. Did they then add another effect for when you E a blazed target? Oh, no. Okay, gotcha.
The spread radius is increased.
Gotcha. Okay, so it's 300 units on a unlit target, on a target that's ablaze, it's 600. Okay, so it always spreads, but it spreads a lot more on a target that's ablaze. I think that's a really good change. And I think that also is really good for his ability to survive and thrive as a solo laner, as a mid laner, as opposed to just a support, because that lets him EW to clear the wave and keep his Q up to stun an enemy, as opposed to having to QE the wave and then use W.
Pretty good change.
That's really good for solo lane Brand.
Cool. Galio. Galio's E now has a minimum dash distance.
Poggers. Jinx. E now deals all damage up front.
So weird that it was a DOT.
It was so weird. Like, I get the idea that they're flame chompers. But
I also don't think it's a trap. Yeah, I mean, is it?
I think so.
Nidalee traps do damage over time.
Yeah, it just feels odd. I don't know. I feel fair like Nidalee's traps feel like they're like a poison type thing. I don't know.
That's fair.
It just felt like it should have been like, I mean, it's such little damage, I think, was the main thing.
Yeah.
That doing over time felt like it was just a non-damaging ability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
Next, we have Karthus. The base damage on his Q has been reduced by a flat 5 at all levels. So on a single target, that's 10. That's pretty significant.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's why Karthus lost today in our game? The Smurf Karthus
probably
play?
Yeah, gutted, man.
Yeah.
No, he also played like shit.
Yeah, he played like shit. Next is LeBlanc. Her E cost is decreased. Her E base damage is increased, and the E delayed damage is increased. Those are pretty big changes.
I'm glad that it's her E and not a different ability.
I agree. I mean, her QW is just like too easy to use that it hurts.
Yeah, I agree. Lulu, Q base damage is decreased later. Is that 20 points? No. Yeah. It's 40 at max rank.
Oh my god, that's pretty big.
That is pretty big. They definitely don't want solo lane Lulu.
Yeah, fuck top lane.
Yeah, so it's the same at level 1 and then minus 10, 20, 30, 40. So, yeah, fuck solo lane Lulu is what they're basically saying here.
Yeah.
It's wild because she's still super strong as, you know, solo laner or as a support. It's weird how much utility that character has. Up next, we have Nasus. The bonus resistances he gets from his ultimate have been increased. The resistances per second have been removed. So instead of stacking up over the duration, it's just you cast R, you get all of your resistances. I didn't realize it stacked up.
I didn't realize either. That he got resistances at all, honestly. I knew he got bonus attack damage for units around him.
Like, he got damage, range, and health, I knew. I was pretty sure he also got, like, some damage reduction, but it's when you have an ultimate that just gives you, like, 8 passive stats, it's hard to track them all.
Yeah.
He gets more now, though, in general. So I was looking up. So it was 15... what's it called? 15, you gained 15. So it was 15 seconds. So at rank 1, you'd gain 1 per second. So you'd gain 15 plus 15, like, total. So you'd be at 30. So they actually just increased that to 40 as well, though. And you get it immediately. So it's actually, like, a pretty big buff, I think.
So it's more early, but less late. Because you said just ultimate lasts for 15 seconds?
Yeah.
So previously, then, you would have gotten...
You're down 20 at max rank, yeah.
Yeah, you're down 20 at max rank, but you're up...
10 at first
10 rank. 10 at first rank, which I think, again, it levels his curve a little bit, where, yeah, he's a little bit, I guess, slightly weaker, but 20 armor doesn't really matter at level 16. And that strength early helps a lot more to help survive that early deficit and prevent being dove.
And, like, the fact that, like, so it'd scale up. So, like, you're still tankier in the first 5 seconds of your rank 3 ultimate, which I think is, like, a huge benefit in itself. Big,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Nice. Cool. Samira, base attack. Gutted, dude. Base attack damage and armor reduced by 2 each. That's it.
This character has a lot of problems. Nick and I both think she's too strong, but we don't think she's overpowered. It's just that all of her abilities are slightly too strong, I think. In different ways.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how to go about that and how to change that to reduce her power a little bit.
I think that last episode was it where we went a little bit more in depth. Like, we had a lot of, like, potential ways to do it. And I think that the big thing you want to make sure is that you don't do all of them. And you can, you know, tune back things, you know, one at a time. But... It's odd to me how I think she's super, super strong, but, like, I see so many Samiras play it and do so poorly. And it's like, you're playing a super strong character so badly.
Nick and I were, like, talking about it a bunch today, though. Like, it's crazy that her, in my opinion, the most balanced ability, or, like, at least egregious ability on her kit is her Windwall. Because it's a 30-second
Windwall
ability
is definitely the most
that
fair.
She can't. Yeah. DPS during, like,
It's on a 30-second cooldown. Yeah,
I think every single other ability they could touch in some way to make it more balanced, though. But we'll talk about that more another day. Sejuani, her R base and max damage are increased. I don't think this changes anything for Sejuani.
Zaya, base attack speed growth is increased by 0.6. Not bad.
Yeah. Zed's base damage on his E has been reduced at later ranks. So starting at the same damage and down 20 at max rank, not huge, but it definitely does start pointing. And I think this is a change I like to see, where hit your Qs. I hate that Zeds can get away with missing their Qs and still 100 to 0 you. Because they hit a WE auto attack and electrocute.
Yeah.
Like, if you miss your shurikens, you shouldn't be able to 100-0 somebody.
Fun trivia, Colton, because we're on Zed. What of the energy user characters can regen energy in some way through their kit?
Which other ones?
Yeah, what of, like, out of the five energy
out of them, okay.
Which ones so, can regen energy in their kit?
Zed can regenerate energy if he hits somebody with a shadow thing. Mm-hmm. Akali can regenerate energy when she procs her mark or when she pops a W.
Yep.
Lee Sin gets energy back on hit with his, like, mm-hmm. every two hits passive.
Yep.
Kennen doesn't... No, she gets energy back if she procs mark... No,
he, by the way.
Kennen's a girl. I don't care. what are the other energy characters?
Shen's the last one.
Shen. Does Shen have an energy... I think if he hits his taunt, he gets energy back, right?
Yeah, every single one gets energy back. Kennen gets it back when proccing is a three-hit passive.
Yeah, okay.
But, yeah, like, Nick and I were talking about that because Nick only thought it was Akali and Lee Sin, I think. Shen. You thought it was Akali, Lee Sin, and Shen did.
Yeah,
and
I didn't know Zed... Kennen could, and I didn't know Zed could.
Yeah, and I didn't know Kennen could, and I didn't know... There's one more that I didn't know. Either way, it was like, it's crazy that, like, that's a mechanic that obviously goes between energy users, but we didn't know. Mm-hmm.
To me, it's almost like problematic to a point.
A little.
Where you're like, okay, all of them, I guess, needed a way to put this resource in there and have them give them a chance to get more. But, like, all that does is. It turns them from, like, a one combo to, if you play it right, you get, like, two rotations.
Yeah.
But regardless, like, they're still back to full in 8 seconds, which is so frustrating.
I mean, Shen's a little bit more rough. If he misses taunt, it's like, mm-hmm. most of his energy bar. But, yeah.
Cool. Last things last, they've added a pet range indicator, and I really wanted to bring your attention to the Annie one, where it says, Annie, added for pet, and in parentheses, Tibbers. Because I think did they have to clarify that Tibbers was the pet?
I guess so.
Wild.
Tibbers has always been the champion. Yeah.
I guess people don't know what pets. I don't know. It's so weird. I have no idea why they clarify.
Well, that's the ability weird. Is called Summon Tibbers.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Interesting. We got some class updates. You can invite 20 people at a time. You can still only play with 5. But once it fills up, those invites will go away. Pretty nice if you're trying to score like a full pre-made, mm-hmm. but don't have a set team.
It's wild though that you can't have like a sub.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool if you could.
Yeah.
Be harder to draft though, I think.
I think so too. Unless you had to like lock in your sub before the game started, I think that would be fine.
Yeah. Imagine if you went into champions like with your sub though, and just one of you like chooses to play.
I mean, true. Yeah,
that'd be cool, but that'd be kind of messy.
Yeah, it would be. It'd be kind of pog though. Cool. And then some earth balance changes and some bugs and quality fixes. And then the KDA all out skins are coming out with Seraphine, Ahri, Kai'Sa, Evelynn, Akali, and Prestige Kai'Sa. Look pretty good.
I like the first part of KDA all out Seraphine because that's us right now.
Yeah.
True, that is us. Wow.
It's just me.
Yeah, and you're right. You are kind of a K-pop star.
Yeah.
Sweet. And then Ahri, Evelynn, and Akali are going to have chromas. So, cool.
Cool.
And that is it for patch 10.22. Let's get into the 5-starries. Go ahead, Colton.
Yeah, so we've got one 5-star review from Josh. Or not Josh. The title of the review is not Josh. The review is from Alex, also not Josh. That makes more sense. The review says, "What the fuck is Avatar?" And Alex 4172, have I got an answer for you? According to dictionary.com, it's the descent of a deity to the earth in an incarnate form, or some manifest shape, the incarnation of a god, or a static or moving image of or graphic representation that acts as a proxy for a person, or is associated with a specific digital account or identity, as on the internet.
I gotta tell you, Colton, that definition cracked me up. I'm glad you read it to us.
Yeah, I'm dying over here. That's some quality content.
Sweet. Let's get into the bi-weekly. Hey. If you're looking to abuse a duo queue before the end of the season, like I know a certain me is.
Or even if you just have like, the, like rank season ends in 10 days?
12 days.
12 days. Oh, yeah, because it ends on the 10th. Hey, end of season, trying to get your final little push in. I think it's time for us to talk about what we're using to climb and what we think are other good ways to try and make that final push for whatever your goal is. Nick, tell us about what you and Aiden have been playing.
So Aiden and I initially started this week by playing Cassid and Shen. Shen is obviously probably the best top lane in the game right now. I don't know if there's much contest.
I think Camille might be the best top laner.
I think it's Camille.
It's one of those two, right?
I just think Shen provides, I just think having map pressure is super, super good to guarantee. It makes your games more consistent in the fact that you can stop lanes from losing and stuff. But
To pair with that, I was playing tank Kassadin, mana tank Kassadin mid lane, going Seraphs and then just full into Abyssal Mask, Frozen Heart, Randuin's if necessary, pretty much any other tank item that I needed. You don't lose any damage whatsoever, it feels like. Once you hit 11 or 16, you're still that powerhouse. And the potency of this combo lies within both Kassadin and Shen taking teleport and not allowing the game to be played fairly for the other team. Anytime there's a fight, you really want to be participating in it, regardless of lane position or anything like that, and just sort of getting the map ahead that way. It is very difficult, though, if you happen to get unlucky coin flip bot lanes. I think Aiden and I played, I don't know, close to 10 games of it. And we have a positive win rate with it, but our bot lane did lose most of the time. So
there's a level that you can carry with, right? We won the game where our bottom lane died 18 times. We won the game where our bottom lane died 20 times, and we lost the game where our bottom lane died 22 times.
Yeah. So it is very powerful, and if you can get the Kassadin to level 16, you have a chance of winning any game, of course. But getting there can be difficult when the score is 12 to 40 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Colton, why don't you give us your little spicy boy?
My combination is primarily it's Zilean support, but I think particularly Zilean Senna is actually a crazy lane. So you're going Airy on Zilean, and you're also taking Font of Life and Rejuvenate, and that's important because what that means is that you're going to be proccing heals when you cast E on allies, and then if you stun or slow enemies, you'll also be healing allies, which basically allows you, because of Font of Life, to utilize Airy and an Ardent Sensor, even though you don't have any direct heals or shields. But the reason I think Zilean Senna is such a nutty lane is they obviously have really good range and utility. So once they've all got their three basic abilities, you've got three slows if it's Glacial Senna, a stun, a snare, a movement speed buff, a stealth, as well as Zilean's got the utility if you can throw bombs to check bushes. Senna can do the same with her W. There's crazy utility. You can really easily zoom Senna in to get that auto attack Q to stack up those souls early game. And there's not a whole lot they can do to punish it if you can also zoom her out or threaten a stun. Obviously, the late game scaling is insane. Zilean in team fights is crazy. And then there's just the fact of you can play it strong side or weak side really effectively. They're both great champions to just chill and farm for the entire game and then become actual characters at 35. But if you get ahead with it, it's also crazy where your Senna with Yomu's presses E, you zoom her in, nobody gets away from that ever. Mm-hmm. She just walks up, she autos you, Qs you, autos you again. And then again, once you hit sixes, your ultimate and Senna's are both huge team fight changing ultimates. Again, I think if you can get to team fights without being crazy behind, and as long as you have a second damage threat on the team, because you still end up with probably about 300 AP with this Zilean build and do a decent amount of damage with your bombs. But you need at least one other damage threat. I don't think you could probably have it work with all tanks. But we had a Maokai one game, and that Maokai never died.
Yeah.
Like, runs in at 99%, heal him up, res him, heal him up, run him back out. Like, there's nothing you can do about it. So that's what I think is what I'll probably be playing for the remainder of the season, particularly just me running the Zillion. I think Senna's super strong just because she's really good strong side or weak side, and, like, she's one of the few AD carries that even when behind is effective. Some honorable mentions I wanted to throw out for power duos if you're not a, you know, bot support. If you're a top mid but don't want to play Cassidy and Shen, I mean, there's the good old Camille Galio Thunderdome. I think Camille is, you know, she's either one or two right now in terms of top laners. Crazy good CC, crazy engage, insane solo carry potential. I think Galio is, right, he's got nutty wave clear, so you always have priority, a bunch of CC, and can always follow up on Camille, so that's like a nuts combo. And then if you want to go with the classic, there's always the honorable mention of Taric Yi. You know, funnel that Yi, get going. I wouldn't recommend it unless you're, you know, have played it before. I think picking up that playstyle takes a while, and with only 12 days left, that might be tough. But any other strong combinations you guys want to mention for people trying to get one more division out or one more, you know, quick rank up before the end of season?
I just think that you should play Kassadin. Like, I honestly think Kassadin is the best character in the game. I just think he scales too hard. His early game isn't weak enough for, like, how good he is. And people aren't abusing him enough right now.
I think that, like, the way to do... So I played the Kassadin part of Kassadin Shen. And the way to do it is just, like, just give up CS early. Just don't die. Gain, like, stay in range for XP. Don't die. It doesn't matter if you play against, like, Zed, Lucian, or anything like that. Just don't die. And eventually, you'll pick up kills around the map. You'll be down 30, 40, 50 CS. But you'll still be, you know, a level behind, maybe. But eventually you'll hit the Kassadin point and you'll be too tanky to die and you'll still do the same amount of damage.
And I think you make a really good point of just not dying, especially I think in lower elos, that's super big, because against an unskilled opponent, they won't know what to do about that, right? If I'm playing Lucian mid into Kassadin, and I don't know, you know, how to do anything with that. It's like, okay, well, I can try and freeze him out and get a kill. Okay, wait, he won't push. All right, maybe I'll bounce waves off his tower. Oh, no, he's getting last hits now. And then I start to panic. Well, do I try and get tower plates? Okay, maybe now I die to a gank. Do I roam bottom? If that doesn't work, now I'm down EXP, and he's going to outscale me. Right, like, you start running out of those options, whereas the, you know, Chovies of the world, or the scouts, or, you know, take any, like, professional mid player who might be picking up Lucian, like, they're going to be able to capitalize on that advantage, but somebody in silver probably won't. And they'll sit there and they'll have a 15 CS lead with Lucian, do nothing with it, and get outscaled by level 11.
And I got to tell you, of the number of Cassidy games I played, not a single person played Lucian, which I think is very telling, because I do believe Lucian is one of the better mid lanes in the game right now, if not the best, like, just blind pick. So check that out. Of course, always mention Lissandra jungler mid. It's gotta be so, like, so easy, but, there's plenty of options, and I hope everyone gets to grind out to the rank that they want. Sweet. Let's jump into the LCS section. So Liquid Jansen is, rumored to be signing a contract with Team Liquid again, worth $4.2 million over the course of 3 years, which seems so fucked, crazy. Man. It'd be the highest, highest overall, but maybe not per year.
I mean, you could assume that some, like, Chinese players are getting paid more, right? But we don't, like, that. We definitely,
I mean,
the highest.
I just
in NA,
for NA,
for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's, like, because it's only, oh boy, like 1.1, a little bit less than, no, I don't know. Oh, it's 1.4 million a year.
1.4, yeah.
And I feel like that's, I feel like that is, not the highest we've ever seen. But 4.2, I think, is the largest we've seen.
Yeah, it's so crazy. Like, my main thing is, like, whatever. Like, go get your bread, man. You deserve it. Whatever. How the fuck is this ever profitable for, like, an organization?
Yeah, I don't know.
They're rumored to get Alfari, right? We're not going to probably talk about, like, too many roster rumors unless they're, like, huge sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But they're going to pay him over $1 million, like, almost certainly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then Core JJ's got to be making close to $1 million for, like, if he resigns. I think he's the only one who's like already signed still, but he's probably being paid close to $1 million. Mm-hmm. Tactical is probably pretty cheap. And then they're planning on, getting Santorin, I think it was Santorin.
Who's like stacked roster.
Yeah. But like the roster, no matter what, is like a $5 million a year roster.
Yeah.
Like,
so I think that like, there's no way at all that through just straight LCS revenue, they'll ever make that back. I mean, obviously, Liquid is a huge brand, and they have other revenue streams from endorsements, ads, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think that they're at a big enough place that they can afford to continue being unprofitable and growing. And, like, I think that that's something that is foreign to a lot of people that don't spend much time in the business world. Right, like most major companies, especially like tech startups, are not profitable for the first 5 to 10 years, if ever, because they just plow through everything, grow, and are like, at some point we'll turn a profit or just sell it. And I think that that's probably the Liquid strategy at this point, is that they're sold on the idea that esports is in its early stages still, and will continue to grow. And the bigger footprint they can get in it now, that in this investment and this loss now is going to turn into big money for them in 20, 25 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I do believe Team Liquid is the most profitable NA org. I can't speak for other regions, but they're fucking massive.
That makes sense.
They are massive in any esport. So... sweet. Okay, you guys ready? This might be the biggest LCS news that there ever will be. Bjergsen is retiring, and he is moving to the head coach role for TSM. What do we think about that?
I don't think it's that crazy. Like, to
I don't.
With, I guess
I don't think it's that crazy either. I think it's just sort of. I don't think that there's going to be a replacement mid that could fill his shoes.
No, and I'm worried about a couple things. I'm worried about TSM doing the thing where they have trouble finding one and they try and force him to play back on it for a season while they look. Right? Like we had that like split of Reginald playing mid every now and then. You're like, no. Mm-hmm. Or like just like I see that as potentially being an issue. And I think that this, for me, really answers the question that we were kind of all asking when he became a part owner last year.
Yeah.
Is that, like, I don't think there's a chance in the world that he didn't tell them he was retiring in a year before he got that deal.
I definitely do. I think it's super reasonable.
I think it's possible, but I think it was set. Like, he's like, I'm retiring in a year. I want to be a part owner.
I don't think so. I feel like it's one of the things where he could have went to any team he wanted. And the only way TSM was able to afford him is by giving him a share of the company to keep, like, actual, like, what's it called? Salaries low and stuff. That's, like, the way I would look at it. I also think it's one of those things where I think he would have potentially played more. I don't think he would have ever wanted to play more with the way that like the org is structured. Like he probably has a good understanding of what they can and can't get for like a roster. And if he doesn't want to play on a losing roster again, you know what I mean? And he can't play on another team without literally leaving or like selling shares of TSM. You know what I mean? He's a part owner of the company. So like the only pathway is like joining to a different part of the org. Not that I think that he would want to leave to TSM. Like, I mean, TSM's been pretty fucking good to him. But I just think there was no other pathway regardless, right?
Yeah, he was kind of definitely locked into this trajectory. I think you're 100% spot on. Like, there's no way he can really go to another team after that.
Mm-hmm.
Nor would he really have any reason to.
Yeah, the main thing that I was discussing on our Discord was, why do you guys think that everyone's so excited about it? Like, I mean, I hope he does super well. I think he's, like, fucking brilliant. I think he's super, like, he didn't do nearly as much as he could have done, like, being on a better team, right? For, like, how good he is as a player. But, like, why are people assuming that he's going to be a great coach? I don't think players, like, make good coaches, I guess, is, like, the way I would look at it.
I don't know.
I think it's because a lot of just the general consensus and, again, the vocal group that is Reddit, like, don't understand that good players don't often make good coaches. And I think historically we've seen most players that go into the coaching roles do, you know, as well as non-former pros. Like,
I guess...
I don't think there's been any, like... I'd love to see somebody do, like, a statistical analysis, but, like, if you take any current coach that, you know, was never a league pro or was, I don't think it really speaks to their, you know, how they'll do as a coach.
I guess I just, like, look at it as in the fact that I think he can do fucking awesome if they build a coaching team around him. Mm-hmm. Like, they still have a strategic coach who does pick bans. If they still have, like, people who, like, talk to players about, like, actual, like, mental and stuff like that. You know, like, what's that coach? Like a psychological type coach. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? I don't think a player who's a similar age to other players on the team fills that role, at least in some regards, very well.
Especially if
you do have a team of, like, veterans. I think if you have a team mm-hmm. of, like, rookies, then I do think, like, the power dynamic isn't too strange, and a lot of players, like, do respect him. I think even, like, a lot of veterans respect him, but I definitely think, like, imagine your mid laner's perks, right? Like, let's just say that they get perks, right? I don't think that's a good dynamic at all, having your coach be the old mid on the team who's now a co-owner of the team.
Well, I mean, we saw this once before, and with once with TSM before, and fortunately Bjergsen was godlike in comparison. Yeah. But no, I agree with you, Aiden. I mean,
could you imagine if Bjergsen was bad when, like, Reggie took a step back, like, being the prior, like,
I can tell you he wouldn't have taken a step back.
Yeah, that's, like, that's what I mean. Like, it's, I just think that it can lead itself up for, like, set itself up for failure. I think they need a lot of other coaching staff to be around him to mm-hmm. supplement a lot of things.
Yeah, I agree. And that was kind of the first thing I was trying to bring up, is, like, we've seen this move before with Reginald, and hopefully that transition is smoother and they do build up the staff around him. I think if they were to bring in newer players and let him kind of mold the team, that would have some potential there. Because like you're saying, like, I think, like, 99% of professional players have immense respect for Bjergsen, and that's good and well in terms of competition and friendly bants. But when you're, like, again, when you're somebody's coach, that's a little bit different. And if Bjergsen was trying to coach Caps, again, that might be a strange dynamic. But if you were to take, like, a mid laner from the, you know, Challenger series, who's been looking up to Bjergsen as, like, the epitome of NA mid laner now for 6 years, and who can then be like, all right, I'm going to guide you, because, like, I can tell you what it was like to be a new mid laner. I can tell you what it's like to play in the crowd. I can, you know, help you deal with the stress of going to an international event. Like, there's a lot of strengths there, but I totally agree with you that there needs to obviously still be that other staff around him to fill in the gaps.
I think the hardest thing is coaching is so different from playing the game, from doing analysis, like, from anything, that it is hard to say this is going to be, like, a 100% guaranteed slam dunk
off the bat. He was going to be a mid lane positional coach, exactly. I think all of us could 100% say he would be one of the best mid lane positional coaches. I think that's pretty easy to say. I just think it's a little bit harder to say with actual as, like, a head coach of a team.
Well, I think, like, a good comparison is Papa Smithy, like, godlike analyst, caster, everything, and then coaching kind of fell flat this year, right?
I also think it's like that could change. I do think he could have the resources and stuff like that.
Yeah. I'm not damning him to being a mediocre coach.
But yeah, it's not immediately like greatness to greatness, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. There are going to be some growing pains. I don't think TSM is going to be as good as they were this year.
I also am wondering if with him in the head coach position, if he will be able to make some of the bigger systematic changes to TSM that I think have been plaguing them for a long time. I think it's very telling that a player as good as Bjergsen doesn't have as many titles as he probably should. In that, like, there's something else happening, and maybe as a head coach, he can finally have the authority to start fixing that and say, like, if we get another Bjergsen level mid laner, I'm not going to try and have them settle for fucking third place every time. Like if we get a champion all-star mid laner, they are going to win splits. They are going to do well internationally. Like, we can, I don't know if that'll happen, but I think that that's probably one of his primary goals as head coach, is to address some of those issues that stopped him from having as much success as he could have in an already amazingly decorated career. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Yep.
You guys want to talk about semis really quick?
Hell yeah. So first we watched Top versus Suning, and Suning 3-1'd.
That's very surprising.
It
yeah,
is very surprising.
They played awesome.
They did play very well. I'm we'll talk about it in a bit. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what to say about the series other than it
was very
surprising.
I didn't find it too interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, obviously, like, the meta of the entire tournament, jungle matchup played a huge role. And I mean, Suning showed up and they played better on the day. Like, I don't think there's any other way to go around it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't as much like when we watched DRX versus, or no, not was it Samsung versus G2, where it looked like G2 was Gen.G, that's the one. I still call them Samsung. Where you could just be like, okay, G2 is just like the smarter team. Like, it was, I think, in a lot of these, just like the better team in most cases. And hey, on the day, Top was not the better team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. On the other side of that, teams. G2 versus Damwon. Okay. Damwon 3-1.
I would like to admit it. I was wrong. It went four games. Aiden, you got it, bud.
Hell yeah.
And it wasn't very close. The one game that G2 won, I think was pretty close, if I'm not mistaken. But Damwon kind of steamrolled them for the rest of the series. They looked fucking incredible.
Damwon is showing the signs of the Korea of old. We're going to outplay you mechanically. We're going to outplay you on a macro level. We have better early game, mid game, and late game. We have better vision. We have better draft. We execute everything perfectly, and there's nothing you can do about it. Like, that is the Korean League of Legends that I think we all grew up on with, like, season 3-4 SKT and what we came to expect. You know, it's not necessarily the flashy, we're going to out-execute you in teamfight Chinese style that has won the last few years. It's just the, like, all right, perfect execution, you know? We don't make mistakes, and we will turn a 200 gold lead into a 500 gold lead into a 5,000 gold lead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it's really, really clean to watch, and I would be surprised if they did not win the tournament.
I agree.
It's kind of hard to say, like, there's a better style of League than what Damwon are currently playing. Not to say that they're playing perfectly, but that this style is so suffocating and so, like, frustrating. It must be frustrating to play against, because once they're ahead, like, the game's over. But very excited to see the finals.
Mm-hmm. It's that style where, like, we've said it before. It's like, you feel like they steal your Gromp because they win a smite fight, and shit, game's over. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how clean they execute on these leads. It's insane.
Yeah.
You're like, well, oh, shit, they they outsmited me at Scuttle. I guess it's time to FF15.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And everyone's just playing so fucking well. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. What do you guys think? Damwon or Suning? I've got Damwon. I'm going to say 4 games. 3-1.
I think Damwon 3-0.
Damwon 3-0.
Okay. So this is the... I've doubted Suning in every single sense of the word.
Yeah.
And they've exceeded expectations. So
I'm super down for them to win.
Instead of changing
win,
my bet, I'm going to double down, Nick. I'm going to underestimate them even more.
Yeah.
You know who we underestimated? And maybe the rest of the world? Hecarim?
Right? Oh, yeah. Like, so our
you
bet...
You update our bet?
Yeah, so we had made a bet at the very beginning of... Before World started, that we were going to guess who was the highest pick ban character, not including 80 carries. None of us picked Nidalee because we're fucking stupid as can be. I picked Chen, Nick picked Volibear, Colton picked Hecarim. As of right now, I posted it somewhere in our group chat. Right now the current pick ban is 48 pick bans for Chen, 46 for Volibear, 22 for Hecarim. So Colton loses regardless because there's not going to be 24 Hecarim picks in the 5-game finals. Or 3-game finals, as he predicted. Nick and I have a chance, though. The bet was, like, loser pays out to the winner. Middle person, like, just gets off scot-free. A mystery skin. So Colton's either paying me or Nick a mystery skin. Nick needs to hope for at least +2 volley games over Shen pick bans in the finals. So
if we tie, do we turn and flip a coin? Or should we go off who has the most... the most pick'em points,
highest win rate at that point.
I'm down to flip a coin, but
I'm down for
I'm down for whatever. But well. Like, I think a flip a coin is fun because I think I already went on pick'em points.
How many points do you currently have? Because I think
I have them.
Sure.
Are you not in the bracket? Maybe that's why I thought that.
I thought I was, but now that I'm going to the boards, I currently have 60. I think.
Where do I check mine? I'm at 72.
Oh, okay. So you're ahead. Regardless.
Yeah, I'm at 74.
Ooh, Colton's a red brambleback, dude.
Yes, so I'm down to flip a coin.
Yeah, that's fine. Pog. Sweet, let's get into the round table then.
Cool. So last week's question was, it was a question about someone breaking into your home and challenging you to win a game of League of Legends. It was submitted by Danny Stormit. We got lots of answers. I pulled some from our Facebook, from our Twitter, and from our Discord. First, from our Discord, the last team mirror, I said, long story short, I'd be fucked. I am very coin flippy on almost all my champs. Can't carry with Katarina reliably, so I rely on Glacial Malzahar. Rindosu said, Yasuo, run into the turret 10 times, get the free 0-10 power spike and carry.
True.
And Dual Dowser said, me being the not-so-sweaty League player who only plays Aram's but doesn't flame people, I'd play my sweet boy Coggy and aim for a late game. I think Kog'Maw Aram is super underrated for a lot of people, by the way. It's actually insane. From our Facebook, Brad said I'd pick Skarn or jungle and play like any other normal game. That way, if I lose, likely being norms, I'd go out playing the first champ I ever played. That's a good way of doing it, man. Actually, it's probably not, but Jamie said support Pyke, gank, and gank some more. And if I lose, blame it on the jungler.
True.
And then last from our Facebook, one from Nicholas, he said Mordekaiser top, ban Darius, dunk noob, go 6-0, walk around the map taking lunch money until your team gets bored of inspecting bushes and decides to stroll up mid. Would be fun for a change. Win a game, link Twitch stream, report whole enemy team.
That's funny.
And then from our Twitter, another one from Alexander Whitehair, I would pick Aesol and feed smiley face, and you did the emoji that's smiley face with sunglasses. and then one from the one who naps, he said, I'm going to pick Cog and beg my team and champions like to build protect the Cog comp. They're going to pick 2 assassin and engage support and Fiora top, and I'm just going to die within 15 minutes.
Fair enough.
And last but not least from Pasta to CZ, Vi jungle is the answer, camp top until he DCs. I actually do think just like spam ganking one lane, making him quit is like a good solution to win.
And it's got to be top lane, right? It's got to be top lane. Or check out PGG for their
top lane is the most abusable repeat gank lane.
It is.
Cool. This week's question, though, I've already posted in our Discord, is if Riot starts to sell announcer packs for League of Legends, what would you like to see?
I'd like to see champion packs, mm-hmm. where voice actors just do that. I'd like to see caster packs,
What champion would you like to see, Nick?
Every single one. I don't think there's every single one. I don't think there's a reason not to. I think it is free money for Riot Games to get those people, like, because a lot of voice actors voice multiple characters, right?
Yeah.
So get fucking, I don't know, Matt Mercer in for a day and just like, hey, record these, I don't know.
Does Matt Mercer voice a character? I actually don't know.
I don't know. I just picked somebody.
I know. I'm just like, I'm curious. I'd be surprised if he didn't, is what I meant. Like,
yeah, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. Like,
is there one specifically you'd like, obviously you'd want them all, but like, is there one character voice that you would just love to be your announcer?
Pike would be really good. I think Gangplank would be really good, as we've already seen. I am less sold on one character, and instead, like, I want every character. It's just dumb that it's not a thing. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, Graves. I didn't cut you off. I thought you were down there. He voices Gangplank and then Kindred's Wolf.
Ooh, okay, interesting.
Oh my god, those voices are so good.
Casters, popular caster packs.
Fucking give me a Kobe pack.
Give me a Kobe pack, dude.
Give me a Kobe pack. Give me a Doa pack.
For real, like, and I feel like those are very easy. How many announcer lines are there? Like, less than 50,
I don't think there's
right?
that many. Yeah, well, I'm sure there's more than 50, mm-hmm. but I'm sure it's not a crazy amount.
Yeah. It wouldn't take a huge amount of resources to get that done. And yeah, I think Misa said Tyler won, so I mean, you could definitely get some popular streamers,
personality in. Content creators one. Yeah,
yeah, like content creators,
they would
streamers.
Love to do it too, dude.
You could get pros in even. Like, dude, can I get the Faker voice line pack?
But like, it's like not so. It is expensive. Like bringing someone out, like flying them out to do it, whatever. But still, you give them like what 10-15% of like the cut, sort of thing. And it's actually so much fucking money, man. And they're like, especially streamers will advertise. Like, dude, Tyler One gets a 10% cut of whatever the fuck it is. It's like a $10 pack, right? So he gets a dollar on every single one. Tell me that it's not just free advertising, though.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, it's not like he's not going to fucking talk about his own pack that he gets, like, cut of the profit on. Like, that's crazy.
It's just, like, this beautiful, like, vicious circle of, like, double advertising where League is advertising for Tyler, who is then advertising for League, who then advertises for Tyler. Like, and it just goes back and forth like this, and it's so good. But,
yeah, I think it's free money.
It's so, it's such low-hanging fruit that I'm surprised it hasn't happened yet.
I would love to get a Tom Kench voice pack.
Tom Kench would be good.
Tom Kench has such a good voice.
Yeah.
And I just want like that southern draw, like Pentakill. Mm-hmm. Not that that sounded anything like Tom Kench, because I have a terrible voice.
It's because you live in Texas,
Tom
not
Kench?
Louisiana.
Was that? Yeah, sorry. My bad. Dude, oh God, my voice. Obviously, the listeners of this show know. It's terrible.
What about you guys? You guys have any...
Mine is Kobe.
Kobe would
be good. I mean, like, Doa, Faker, Tom Kench, probably. Yeah. Would be so sick.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Good. Oh, can we get, like a Bwipo voice pack? Come on. can we get a Dyrus voice pack? Like, you get a solo kill in top lane, just him, like, shouting.
Yeah, okay, wait a second. Misa in chat said League cast pack. Yo. That's pretty foggers.
Yeah,
I mean, 100%.
We'd make all 10 sales for them,
mm-hmm, for sure.
But like, we would have made it, you know?
Yeah, true.
That means like we're in the game then.
Sweet. Thank you, Aiden, for the roundtable. If they want to submit answers,
then get hit us up on our Facebook page at LeagueCast, Twitter at LeagueCast. Send us an email, mail@leaguecastpodcast.com, or come into our Discord and post in our roundtable section. LeagueCastPodcast.com/Discord.
Let's jump into mail fight. Subject, the true character model lie. Hello, LeagueCast. I hope you're all having a wonderful day. Everyone is upset about Evelynn's hair, but there's a far larger misadvertisement. Where's my 13-story tall Galio? The big, lovable stone colossus has been shown to tower everything, yet in game he's shown to be smaller than Sion and Mordekaiser. This is an outrage. How dare they not make Galio the size of an entire lane? Fake outrage, but this got me thinking. April Fool's game with accurate size champions. What do you think? Sorry for the long email. Have an amazing day. Luck, COD. I would love
so
that.
So next next season they've like got more items that interact with champion size and make you bigger, which is dope. But oh my god, that'd be such a good fucking April Fool's joke. Where you go into game and Galio's just like twice as big as the tower and you're like, where's Teemo? I can't find him.
Yeah. That'd be pretty awesome.
That'd be so good.
Mm-hmm. Not to cut off our emails, but do you guys see the rumor that just got posted?
No.
Perks is apparently in like talks with EG, Cloud9, TSM, and Fnatic to play mid.
Ooh. I noticed that none of those teams are CLG, so it's quite sad.
Why would he ever go to CLG?
Good fucking
point. Why would Perks leave G2?
Because they don't want to play AD
carry.
He
wants to play mid, yeah.
I guess.
Because AD carry sucks.
He's a bad AD carry. Like, he's like middle of the league on a first place team is like the main problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just... I find it hard to imagine he will see the same levels of success anywhere, right? Like,
if you went to Fnatic,
obviously it's
great. Fnatic's, I think, a great option. Yeah,
I think Fnatic, I could see it. But just
going to NA for like TSM, EG, Cloud9 isn't going to give him world success for sure.
No, yeah, he won't get world success or competition, and he's not going to win 4 back-to-back splits.
Yeah.
But hey, I mean, that's. I guess I think that's really hype if you were to go to Fnatic and like just that next level of that Fnatic matchup where it's like, hey, Perks versus Caps, let's go.
I'd be pretty sick.
But yeah, Aiden, come on, you gotta admit, real size champions, perfect.
No Maggies.
No? Oh, rip. All right, next.
Thanks, Lakad.
No, and
thank you, Lakad. Next email is from Rin. He says, guys, you gotta help me out. My girlfriend absolutely despises Seraphine. She hates her character and pretty much everything about her. She also says that Seraphine is just a Sona rework and often complains about it. Now my question for you, how do I tell her I plan to main Seraphine? All right, well, Rin, the first thing you have to do is have a conversation with her about her own self-confidence. It's wild that your girlfriend Seraphine doesn't like herself. She's a highly successful pop star, okay? So just get that out of the way first. You gotta bring, you know, lift her up, support her.
You're like one of those simps on Twitter.
Yeah, BB a simp.
Just replying to the Seraphine account.
Well, I'm gonna say your step one is to make sure that she doesn't go full XJ9 on you.
True.
Because that's something that's happened. For those of you not aware, look up the Destiny and XJ9 saga. It's a
if you've got about 9 hours to spare.
I have a good idea.
If you've got 5 hours to spare while you're waiting for Worlds to start,
just remove her off your friends list on League and then say that you quit the game and then play it in the secret from away from her.
Yeah.
And don't play with her.
That's just get a better girlfriend.
I mean, I don't know. Why is it such a big deal that they're similar
joke,
in character designs? Oh, I don't know.
I don't think he's like, it's actually a big deal.
I'm sure she does
not like the character, but I think, yeah, it's like not actually
fair
a
enough.
Big deal.
I hope that's the case.
I think you have to be like, again, pretty far gone XJ9 levels to have that actually become an issue in a relationship.
Yeah, for sure.
I would hope that this was pure comedy, which is why I responded the way I did.
Yeah.
Hey, fair enough. Sweet. Next. Thanks, Randy. Good luck. I hope you enjoy her. Next is from Jeff, who says, the champion we all need. I don't know what Riot was thinking releasing Seraphine when what we wanted was loud and clear, a giraffe champion. Since Riot have not released one, I've designed one for them. I call him Jeff, the last neckbender. His passive, irresistible all, he gains a stack of all each second spent in combat. Each stack gives him bonus attack damage and lifesteal. They disappear when out of combat for 5 seconds. His Q is Horn Whirl. He whirls around his neck, dealing physical damage per second to enemies struck by his horns and gaining movement speed for 3 seconds. And then it applies lifesteal from his passive, too. His W is Munch. He eats a bush to restore max health over 5 seconds while out of combat. Okay. And he eats bushes, which is kind of insane.
And they eventually respawn.
Yeah, yeah. His E is Mad Dash. He dashes, dealing physical damage to enemies. He dashes through and stuns enemy champions at the end of the dash. by a couple seconds. His ultimate is Your Necked. Jeff expands his neck, starting at 1,000 speed and increasing to 2,000 speed over 3 seconds. If his head hits an enemy champion, he pulls them back to his body, dealing true damage, scaling with AD and slowing them based on how far the enemy has traveled. If he takes down the enemy champion while Your Necked is active, this ability immediately comes off cooldown. And it's got a global range. Riot, please make this champion. It's what we all need. P.S. Did you know that a group of giraffes is called a tower? Jeff, we did not. I did not, at least. Small clarification for the last email. Hey, guys, just wanted to clear something up about his passive. It only stacks during champion combat, not minion combat. Otherwise, it would be completely busted. Jeff, so what do we think? That sounds like a disgusting character.
Yeah, he sounds disgustingly strong, but... for the sake of I want a giraffe champion, I approve. That gets the League cast stamp of approval.
Yeah.
Also, like, can you imagine how tilted Rengar players would be if this character came out?
Just eating bushes. Yeah, they'd be pretty dope.
they'd be so mad, and they're already so mad.
True. Nice. Thanks. Thank you, Jeff.
Yeah, next email is from Pardsbay, the Exhaust ARAM taker cucklord. He says, hey, Leaguecast, it's Pards, the Exhaust ARAM taker cucklord. I wrote this email through my tears as Bjergsen has recently announced his retirement. It got me thinking about players and maybe a League Hall of Fame-esque type thing. Do you think Riot will ever start a Hall of Fame? How would your Hall of Fame look? I feel like letting a player design a skin, sort of like the world skins, but just for them, would be the way to go. Maybe just have different chromas for the different teams they were on. No other questions, just that one. So yeah, to start, do we think that there will ever be a League-specific Hall of Fame?
Sure, I don't see why not.
Yeah, I think very likely. There's already like an esports Hall of Fame, right? I do have like a small issue with the modern day concept of the Hall of Fame, because I feel like it's almost not exclusive enough. With the amount of people that get inducted every year.
That's fair.
I know, Nick, you follow traditional sports more heavily. Mm-hmm. But, like, I feel like if you were a moderately successful player for the average amount of time somebody exists in the league, you'll make it in the Hall of Fame in, like, basketball, football, etc.
It depends. There are only a certain number of spots for every year. So it's sort of like sometimes there are very good classes where every single person should have gotten in, but only some do. And then mm-hmm. other times there are like, wow, everyone is kind of just okay. So,
yeah,
I mean, yes, I think there will be eventually. It's got to be. It's such a cash cow thing, right? Come support your mm-hmm. favorite champion or your favorite player. Pretty sweet.
Yeah. That being said, I absolutely would love to see it, and I think that there's a lot of players that already belong there that are currently playing or who have already retired. Mm-hmm. I think especially if, like, jumping back to the round table, if you went to like voice packs where it's like any Hall of Fame player, if they'd like to, gets a voice pack.
Yeah.
I think that that's really low in terms of like investment to make that happen. Whereas, like, a skin would be... obviously, you have to commit a lot of man hours to that. But, like, a voice pack is just like, hey, Xbeke, come in, record these voice lines for a day. You're probably done. Hey, Soaz, come in. Hey, Reginald. Hey, you know, Hotshot GG. Like, whoever would be in your Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. like, they could definitely do that. And I think that'd be super cool and a really fun, like, look back into the starting days, like put Shusha in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if he only played for like a season, like competitively. Like, I want my boy Shusha in the Hall of Fame. Fair and enough. People are like, who is he?
True. Yeah, I agree. We've definitely talked about it before, but any of the original like superstars in League, like you were saying, Hotshot GG, Reginald, Dyrus. Like those sort of players, I think, deserve to go in first. And then obviously, like, Faker, Bjergsen, mm-hmm. Uzi, you know, superstars from there.
Yeah.
But
But I don't want to see, like, I the thing I don't want to see is it get, like, again, diluted. To the point where they're like, well, we got to fill up 10 nominations this year, so I guess we're going to put Golden Glue in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, like, he's a fine player, but, like, he's not a Hall of Fame player.
He's Hall of... In my head. Okay. He's Hall of Good, not Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
So.
Just to pick on one player particularly. Yeah.
Thanks, Pards. Next email is from... Oh, it's our dude, Kaylin. So let me just say, wow, holy shit, your discussion in my previous email left me breathless with how much time you devoted to a topic completely unrelated to League, and this perfectly illustrates why I love this podcast and you guys. League brought us together, but your great personalities kept us that way. I'm not going to waste too much of your time on that matter, but just wanted to clear a few points before moving on to a less discussed matter. My argument about how long something is being a factor is not about suggesting something is better because it's new, rather to suggest the potential to be... The best increases the more the media there is to learn from. One Piece, despite being 23 years old, is still new and amazing because of how the current arcs are as incredible as the earlier ones. My argument for length being a factor, I believe, was a little misunderstood, and that's my bad for not explaining it further. What I said and meant was that two pieces of media that, for the sake of the hypothetical, are of equal quality, the longer one should be considered better because it maintained that quality longer. So Naruto's shit war arc was long, but it was bad. One Piece is exceptionally long and maintains quality superior to the vast majority of other media all the way along. So it is by the length more impressive at the very least than a really short but very good whatever. Sorry about wasting more time on that. Now I want to talk about my tier list. I guess we can address this first before we move on to the tier list. I don't know. I disagree still. I think there is something to be said for like getting a point across in a short amount of time. Like, mm-hmm. effectively, I think that's very impressive and shouldn't be, like, thrown away because it's short, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And, again, these are all, like, spectrum things.
Yeah, yeah,
where,
of course. It's,
like,
yeah.
You rate these on a spectrum and you're comparing, like, 20 abstract qualities to determine something is, like, the best. And so, like, there are a lot of points to be had in long form, and I don't think by any means... We were trying to say, like, you are wrong. It's just that, you know, my model for this looks different than yours, looks different from Nick's, looks different from every other person in the world, most likely, because we all have different ways of assessing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Top lane tier list. Oof. Tell us about it.
I changed viewed only to comment only, so if anyone from the Discord wants to say their piece, go ahead. I enjoyed the discourse, and I wanted to clear up some misunderstandings of how the characters are placed. Fun to play against and watched. Are not weighted equally. They're not really weighted at all. It's very much which one overpowers the rest and becomes the dominant way I perceive that champion. If they end up being very conflicting, then this champion may find itself in B tier. For example, Jax, Urgot, and York are all stated by you guys to be unfun against, and I generally agree, but they are also somewhat fun to play. This above averageness on both metrics cancel each other out, resulting in them in being B tier. This domination of the three perceptions is what pushes Karma and Graves top to S tier. They're so ridiculously fun to play. The meh amounts of not fun to play against gets canceled out with a ton more units of fun left over. The same goes for D tier characters like Yumi, Evelynn, and Sivir. They're unfun to play because they have no capacity to do anything in the lane. And they're so unfun to face because they're not broken or cancer like F tier champs. They're unfun to face because they're so bad you just roll through them. Funness... to watch is definitely the least weighted, but not out of mind. It is funnest to watch that Rengar gets so high. That gets Rengar so high. And if not for being fun to watch, Aatrox would have been even lower. The list is also not set in stone, obviously. It's constantly changing every time I open it because some character feels misplaced. It's been a long time, though, since a character entered or left F tier. Oh, and fuck Darius, you're unfun to play against by design, unfun to watch, literally cringe intensely anytime a Darius play appears in the highlights video. Actually ruins whatever the next clip is, but because my attitude needs time to adjust after witnessing such shit content by Darius players, no insult to the highlight creators, they're all great at making videos, should just leave out Darius, Alawi, Mordekaiser, Nasus clips. Even if he's minusculely fun to play, it gets overweighted by the other two so damn hard. Obviously, sorry for the long email, not sorry to Darius players, fuck those guys. And read the Baratie arc, pretty please. Arc. Have an amazing day. Love you guys, Kaylin.
There's two Alawi clips in the next plays video.
Nice. Started with an Alawi clip.
Yeah, Aiden, you should, one of them you actually. Should, I think it's the very first clip is an Alawi clip.
Nice.
I think
you should just like take a little clip of Darius' head and put it over every champion in the top plays video. just for Caitlin.
The song should just be his laugh on repeat, though. Huh. Huh.
Yes. Thanks again for the long, well-written out email, Caitlin. We always enjoy having long-form conversations with our...
I'm reading the next one, so you can read the one after that, because I need a break. Okay. Okay. Hey, guys. Noah says...
Or I can read them both.
No, Noah... It's okay. Noah says, hey, guys, was wondering if you play Magic the Gathering, and if you do, what colors do you play? My guess is Aiden plays blue-black, Nick plays white-green or white-blue, and Colton just plays any combo deck. Thanks, Noah. Tryndamere equals best champ in the game.
I don't play Magic, sadly.
I've played it 2 times, I think, at a... Colton, have you played a lot?
I have not played much Magic.
There's like a specific format when a new thing, like a new set of cards comes out, where you are all given a certain number of cards, like card packs, mm-hmm. and you open them and make a deck and play against each other. But I played that twice, I think, and got 3rd place both times. So I got some free packs that I gave to Alex Henderson. Hell yeah. I played black red and just played super aggro.
I never really got into Magic, I think primarily because I got a lot more into Yu-Gi-Oh! Because I had an online version that had like a ranked ladder that was free.
But dual
and that
network
was always
right?
my issue.
Huh? Dual network? Was that it?
Yeah. I had already played more Yu-Gi-Oh! Like growing up, so I was more familiar with it. And then like when Warren went off to school, he got way more into Magic and was like going to like Friday Night Magic's releases of all like the new packs and like playing in those. And I was just like, well, cool, I don't have any money and I don't want to learn a new game just to say, wow, man, I wish I could afford to play this game. Mm-hmm. I'll just keep playing Yu-Gi-Oh! And so I played a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Online and got pretty good. I wasn't like crazy. I think I was the equivalent of like a low diamond rank, but
nice.
That's like the one TCG I've played, and in that I played a lot of different decks. I think like probably my best 3 or 4 were like I had a Dark World deck that was pretty good, an Aturia deck. I played 6 Samurais for a little while just because it was busted. But yeah, that was definitely more my game than Magic.
Nice. Sweet. Thank you, Noah.
Yeah. Next email we have here is from Sonic. Hi there, gang. I've been meaning to send an email in for a while, but I've been pretty lazy and also swamped with schoolwork these past few days. Big fan of the podcast, listening on and off whenever I get on a league kick, ever since I started playing in 2015. I think the game is a whole lot of fun to play with friends, but I don't have a lot of friends who play it that much. And whenever my casual friends play, they mostly just end up feeding and not having a lot of fun. I recently took it up upon myself to start an unofficial league academy in my school where I get my casual friends and try and teach them the basics during study hall and lunch, one of the benefits of remote learning. It's only 2 other friends that I play with, but I'm trying to help them get better at their mechanics and zoning as they usually get caught out and that's when they start feeding. They're getting better at contributing to team fights whenever they're not just pushing bot lane the whole game. I was wondering if you had any tips that could help newer players at League get used to playing the game. Bonus anime question. I hear that Aiden recently binged all of Sword Art Online, the real best piece of media of all time. I'm very curious to hear some of his thoughts on the show, especially the crazy 3rd season that just finished airing. I personally enjoy SAO as it was one of my first anime, but I understand why a lot of people don't. Anyway, keep up the good content. I definitely look forward to listening to the podcast every week. Mine own condolences for the longest email. So we'll jump to that anime question in a sec. I think we've discussed a lot about like new players, how to play the game, and like tips for newer players. In terms of like how do you get your friends to play better, I think that you got to reframe that question because that's probably not their goal. You know, they're probably just playing the game casually to have fun. And if that's how they want to play the game, like just play ARAMs with them, just play ERFs with them. Like unless they really want to be developing and want you to coach them. Like personally, I don't think I would enjoy that very much. Like if I had popped into the LeagueCast server and Aiden was like, well, no, I'm just going to tell you how to play the game instead of just having a good time with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they're like new and trying to get better, obviously direct them to like video tutorials that they can play alongside, but let them experience the game, you know? Just play. Eventually you'll get better, and if they're interested in you know, getting better, they'll do so, I suppose.
I think also ARAM, while also being more fun, is kind of like a little bit of a time chamber for like team fighting and ability comboing. Mm-hmm. So just getting that ARAM, man. You learn all the characters, you learn how to fight. Like you definitely are gonna be missing out on a lot of skills, but you'll learn how to operate the game
yeah.
and its base elements a lot better.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
All right, so Aiden, so tell us about Sword Art Online. I watched the first episode of Alicization recently, yeah. and I have no idea what's happening.
Have you seen all the rest of it? All the other four arcs?
So
you watched Alternative Gundam? Make sure. So there's the yeah. Einkrad arc, which everyone loves. Mm-hmm. Einkrad arc is actually fucking good anime. Then there's Fairy Dance, where like he has to rescue Asuna from a crazy mm-hmm. rape mm-hmm. guy.
Yeah, I've seen that.
And then there's Phantom Bullet, where there's the main antagonist is Death Gun, and his gun is named Death Gun.
Yep, okay, yeah, watch that.
And then there's Mother's Rosario, where the one girl dies of AIDS.
And that's the one that, like, keeps up with him, right?
Pardon, what do you mean?
I think I've seen that one.
Yeah, yeah. And then after that, it's like there was the movie, which I haven't seen the movie. And then there was Alternative Gun Gale Online, which was the... one with the little tiny pink girl. That was actually pretty sick. And
that
then,
slapped so hard.
Yeah, yeah, that was actually really good. And then there was Alicization, which I really, really enjoyed. That's all of them. But honestly, though, like out of the first four arcs, like I would say the average person who's watched Sword Art likes only Einkrad, I would say. And I think Einkrad's actually just like a good show. Like I think that's actually like a good anime. Like you go, holy fuck, this is good. Also, for those who don't follow anime news, they're fucking going and doing, they're making an anime of Sword Art Online Progressive, which if you guys don't know what that is, the author of Sword Art Online is rewriting the books, but like actually going through every single floor of like the Einkrad thing, because like the whole point of the story is, right, there's like 100 floors or whatever, right? And it's actually like not skipping around like in the story, it's actually like going through every single like level.
Mm-hmm.
Which is,
and that was like, I think we all wanted.
Yeah, that's what everyone wanted, for sure.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it's like, even Einkrad was sick, but, like, you just saw, like, five of the big bosses, and you're like, I want 100 big bosses. I want more boss fights.
That's crazy. One of our listeners said that he would rank Phantom Bullet above Einkrad, above Fairy Dance, above Mother's Rosario. That's, like, that's actually insane. So I think Einkrad is the best arc by, like, a lot. And then I really like Mother's Rosario. I think it's actually like well written for the most part. And then I think I can't even like decide between Fairy Dance and Phantom Bullet. I think they're both so awful. Like, they're just not good. I think they're both terrible. And then Gun Gale Alternative I think is really, really good. And then Alicization is, it has highs as good as Einkrad, and then like lows that aren't as bad as Fairy Dance and Phantom Bullet, but they're it's still pretty good.
As someone who's only seen the first episode of Alicization, so is it the Kirito in it is the same Kirito?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he aware?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, like, I've only seen the first episode, but, like, he's a child who doesn't understand anything.
Oh, sorry, that it's like a jump forward, jump back type thing. Like, I forgot that's the first episode.
Okay.
Yeah, it, like,
so
second episode actually, like, catches you up to that.
Gotcha. Okay. We'll see then. Because I was just like, is it an entire reboot? Is like, is he aware that he's the anime badass one man army guy?
It's
like,
in media res is the literary term.
Okay.
But yeah, it's pretty good for the most part, Colton. It's like has highs that are as good as Einkrad, but like there's still a lot of like, oh, I'm watching this fucking anime that doesn't know where it's going type shit.
Yeah. And I think that like Sonic, for your like comment of like, I think that pretty much everyone that watched Sword Art Online really liked it. And then like, I think it's very easy to get sucked into the story, and it's mm-hmm. good at that. And I think, again, the later parts are more problematic. I think that the even, like, Aincrad, like, has a lot of flaws to it.
Oh, for sure.
But it's, like, it's one of those things that it's, like, you critically analyze it, it's pretty shit.
Mm-hmm.
If you just want to get lost in a fantasy world and watch cool anime hero swing his sword and say, faster, 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 look at this cool 64-hit combo that just one-hit this mega beast, and get real hype with anime music, it's perfect for that.
Yeah, I'm super excited for progressive, though. I feel like the idea of, like, what everyone wanted of, like, actually, like, this long story of, like, going through every single floor, like, fighting the bosses, preparing for it and shit, is, like, actually gonna be sick, so... Hopefully it's done well. I mean, it's a series that's popular enough that they can actually do shit like this. If this was any other series, like, so SAO is, like, I mean, people, like, joke about SAO being, like, super popular, but it really did fucking, like, create, like, a bit of, a, like, a anime, like, surge, you know what I mean? For, like, Western fans, like, for casual mm-hmm. anime watchers.
Like, I think it hit on, I'd say, like, it's pushing up against, like, the bottom tier of, like, Dragon Ball.
Yeah, exactly. Like, obviously, right, like, Dragon Ball's, like, even more casual than that, but, like, it's, mm-hmm. I mean, like, what are the, like, other big shows? Like, Naruto, obviously, I don't think it's there, even, but mm-hmm. it's pretty close to Naruto.
Right, it's the tier below, yeah. You know, right? Like, top tier is, like, Dragon Ball Z, Naruto.
For, like, for level of, like, reach we're talking, but not, like, quality.
Yeah, not quality. For talking of, like, North American reach, if you walked into a high school 5 years ago and said, do you know this anime? And you said, like, have you seen Naruto? Have you seen Inuyasha? You'll probably get, yeah, I'm familiar with that. If you're like, hey, like, have you seen, you know, Mob Psycho 100? It's a fucking amazing show, but not as many people in North America.
Like, my dad probably knows what Dragon Ball is. He definitely knows what Pokemon is. You know what I mean? Shit like that, right? Like, that's, like, different levels, right?
Ooh, yeah, true. Pokemon is S plus tier.
Yeah, it's, like, the actually most, like, it's, I mean, it's, what, the biggest media franchise of all time. Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, Pokemon S plus, Dragon Ball and Naruto go to S tier.
Yeah. Cool, yeah, anyways, I think SAO is good. I think it could be better, and I'm excited for progressive, because hopefully it'll be, like, what everyone wants.
Sweet.
Yeah, thank you for the email, Sonic. Next one is coming in for us from The Last Samurai.
Yeah, good evening, Jensen.
Spelled it like that. I didn't not know how to read.
First-time listener, Kappa. Thanks to Daylight Savings, got to join Community Night for the first time to play a game, and damn, what a good time. Shout-out to Mountain Drew for hosting it and to my team for carrying my Moo Moo to a big dub. XD.
Jump in there just to pop back to Sonic's email. Like, you said you have trouble, like, finding friends to play with. Like, come to Community Night. I forgot to mention that. Like, hey, if you want to play with people who maybe take the game more seriously or just have a full team attend, like, pop in Community Nights every Tuesday. There will be a full 10 at least.
Sweet. Best community I got into, Heart. Whilst power farming and not really knowing if I should fight, I finally found a question maybe worth asking. Apart from numbers or big health advantages, when do you know if you can fight against other champions as a tank? If you have the same number of or more items, I always have difficulties picking my fights, but that probably starts itself out with more routine and knowing Kumungu matchups. Thanks for your time and the great content. Also, I hope we get more banger Colton jokes in the next podcast. The Last Samurai. It's definitely more champions equals you should fight, first off. And then it sort of just becomes experience, I want to say. Like, I think the three of us know sort of like, oh, this is a bad fight, or oh, this is a good fight, pretty much before it happens.
Yeah, and there's so many factors that go into it.
It's like, okay, which champions, like, which team fight is better early, like, which skirmish is better early, which character has more items, which summoner spells are up, how quickly can I 1v2 before my top laner gets here to clean up?
Like, is your team better going in or kiting back? Do you have pick tools, or do you have, like, wombo combos? You know, I think that a very easy example is, like, you can go in 4v5 if your team is built to instantly delete one person, because then it's kind of just a 4v4, you know, but again, there's so many factors. I think it's really an impossible ask to give you a comprehensive answer, but like Nick was saying, I mean, if you have more champions, if your cooldowns are up and theirs aren't, if you're playing early game characters and they haven't hit their late game spikes yet, or, you know, vice versa, if you're playing late game characters, you probably don't want to take those early fights. You know, there's a lot of things, as well as just like the positioning of, hey, you normally wouldn't want to take a 4v5 fight, but if they lined up just so to hit that 5-man Orianna Shockwave into a Malphite ultimate, or, you know, or other way around, I mean, yeah, you probably can take that fight.
Yeah, yeah. It's just something that you'll get with a little bit more experience in the game, I think.
Yeah. As for me making banger jokes, you said more as if I had ever made one, so I'm a little confused, but I'll do my best.
Nice.
Next email is from Climber. Hey boys, Climber here. I have a few questions for you this week. First, I have two nearly identical questions. If you could be on any LCS team, which team would you each want to be on? Secondly, if you could be on any pro team in the world, which one would you be on? Third, if you were going to be on a pro team, what role would you each play? Lastly, how often do you think pro players just fuck up and it sometimes get hailed as a big brain play? I remember sometime in spring or summer when Varus was super strong, one of the teams, I think TSM, didn't ban it or pick it and let the other team have it instead. Supposedly just because they had a counter pick in mind. That said, I could 100% see that they had just forgotten about Varus for a second. For more obvious examples, look at the double lift recalling and TPing back to lane with 1300 gold and no sword. How often do pro players make these glaring mistakes? I hope your weeks are going well. The email could have been longer. Climber. So I think we'll answer that second question first, because the other ones, I think, are a bigger discussion.
All the time.
I think, yeah, they make more mistakes than you know. And a lot of it is really micro things, mm-hmm. or things that when you see it, it's really tough because, like, there's not an objective correct answer 99% of the time in League. Like, obviously, if it's, well, you could have auto-attacked the Nexus and won, or you could have auto-attacked a minion and lost the game, like, sure, yeah, hit the Nexus. But the League isn't that black and white majority of the time. I think that there are a few times in terms of, like, item builds where there's a right and a wrong answer, where people have done the math and said, like, well, you know, okay, you just do 10% more damage if you build this item instead of that one. If you build Liandry's
instead of Morello.
Yeah, right. You just do more damage, period. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way around that. But then you'll see other things. I think the thing that you pointed out of, like, them making a mistake and it getting hailed as a big brain play, I think that happens more often than we know.
Probably.
Right, where, like, they throw something that should have missed, but somebody dashes or dodges into it. And it's like, did they really predict that dodge, or did they just miss? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, they flashed one thing and ended up actually flashing something way more important that they might not have known. Like, there have been times where it's like, yeah, I'm flashing the Ashe ultimate, and, like, but I also, I flashed the Leona E, and then it turns out I also flashed the Ashe ultimate mm-hmm. that I didn't know was coming.
Yeah. I think I'd just be on CLG for every single case. I either hard carry them to relevance, or it doesn't really matter, and I get to play for my favorite team.
If I were
NA, I think I'd play support. Sorry.
Yeah, I think I'd also play support, just because obviously, like, none of us are good enough to play competitively on the LCS team.
I just think playing support in an environment like that where, holy shit, I'm going to fucking, like, flash Leona ulti, and every single person on my team is going to be ready and follow up. It'd be really fun, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if I were to play on an LCS team, probably Cloud9.
Cringe.
I feel like that'd be fun. Like, I feel like being on TSM, as, like, prestigious as that organization is, I don't think it's a good team environment behind the scenes. No. I don't want to lose by joining CLG.
True.
And, like, I don't really want to be on Big Bucks Liquid. I feel like C9, even though, like, they're not the homegrown just five dudes team anymore, they still have that feel to me, like back when it was fucking balls and
Meteos high.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like back when it was just five dudes and they come out and went 29-2 or mm-hmm. something, or 25-2, like that's the squad I want to be on. Yeah. Where I'm just like joking around with Sneaky in the bot lane, like, lol, let's crush these kids.
That'd be pretty fun.
Any pro team in the world, I mean, I think G2 probably would be a blast for pretty similar reason. If I was on a pro team, I'd probably pick support because I think it's a way more fun role if you have team to follow up. And obviously, I'm not good enough at other roles where it's just like if I played mid, I'd just be spending the whole time getting my face stomped in. So those are my answers.
Like, I don't really have too much to say because I think my answer is like lame. I don't think I'd ever want to be on a pro team, mainly because I just don't think I can deal with like stress like that. Because I would love to play top, like if I was good enough. Like this, I'm assuming this is like a world in which you were good enough to be on a pro team, right?
Yeah, sure.
I definitely would want to be on like a lower ranked team as well, because like I think it'd be so sick. Like the highs of solo killing someone in lane in a pro game is so fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. But also the lows of being solo killed in a pro game might actually be the lowest lows of like all time.
Yeah.
Like imagine getting fucking trashed.
Just going like 0-2 in a fucking playoff game, and then the disappreciation thread pops up.
That is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. Thank you, Climber. Last email. Hey, don't read me on the line. Hey, LeeCast, hop slop, dropping in with the 11th double roundtable answer for this week. The only champion I know how to play is Vi, so I lock in Disco Nunu support and let him plaster my brains on the monitor. For episode 237, refer to the empty space as blank or something. Blank, but why the fuck can't I play Nexus Blitz 24/7? Blank was his. Mine was blank, but I wish champions in the meta were rotated more frequently. Blank, but I can't. But why can't I FF after my team gets aced twice at level 3? Colton was absent. I have
things
no
we hate
clue.
About League, I guess.
Yeah. Like I like the game, but I wish this.
Yeah, it's like League is great, but
oh, finish the sentence. I love League of Legends, but.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Okay.
Fair enough. I still feel the same way.
But matchmaking bad.
Matchmaking do you think it's funny? Mine is so toxic. Why can't I FF after my team dies early game? True,
but it
though.
Is also playing solo queue with you. That's your mentality.
Yeah.
Aiden,
no, it's so
I
true.
See that answer.
I'm super down to like just like go to the next game rather than just like sit in a fucking game that's like oh 4%
chance. 50-50.
Yeah.
If there's nothing at stake and there isn't. Like the slogging it back and trying to come back for that victory, like unless you're actually playing as a professional, it's just not quite there, especially for you, Aiden. And when I saw that answer, it's so you, but it's also so me, or it's just like, can my team just not get aced at level 3? Mm. That's all I need. Just don't get aced at level 3.
Yeah.
Seems easy.
Thanks, Y-Dog. That will do it for this episode of LeeCast. Thank you guys for listening. Check us out on Twitter at LeeCast and at LeeCastFrost. On Facebook, we are LeeCast. Mail at LeeCastPodcast.com is where you can send us emails to get them read on the show. Twitch.tv/BlueBasket and /KingLardot are where we stream. Our website is LeeCastPodcast.com. To join our Discord, LeeCastPodcast.com/Discord or the homepage of our website, and there's a little widget that you can click on. And finally, support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeeCast. You can get access to our monthly We Fix Champions show for just one single U.S. American dollar per month. So thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next week for episode 545?
Yeah,
545. Bye. 445.
445.
445.
Wow,
man.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.